Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Gracious Father, once again we come before You and thank You for the Scriptures. We thank You that we do not have to guess as to what it is You would have us to know and to do in our service toward You. There are many things in the Scriptures we do not understand, but the basics of life are quite clear. It would take someone who is just closed-minded in order to not fully understand what it is You would have. And I pray, our God, that You would bless us to have our hearts so in sync with You that our daily delight would always be to do Thy holy will, that we might crucify the flesh, that we might resist the devil, that we might gird up the loins of our mind and all the other portions of the armor of God and wear them in a disciplined way, and to exercise ourselves unto godliness for Your honor and for Your glory. Bless us not to be influenced by the world, to have the desire to follow their ways. And we pray, our God, that You would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that we would indeed fear no evil, knowing that Thou art with us. And we thank You that You are with us. For You have told us that You will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank You that You rule over all, and while the world and everything about it appears to be in total chaos, we thank You that You're not moved by this. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're not taken by surprise in anything that is coming to pass. You are omniscient in every way. You can hinder anything that You desire, and by the fact of Your omnipotence, and yet You allow various things to take place according to Your own wisdom and judgment. And so I ask, our God, that You would bless us to ever keep these things in mind, as well as all of Your attributes and Your being, and that we might be encouraged to live and serve You in this perverse world in which we live. We pray that You would send revival among us. Yea, revive the work in the midst of the years, we ask. We pray for the advancement of the gospel to sound abroad, and that it might go forth in a way that is pleasing and honoring unto You. We are even honored as well as humbled of the many different places where the gospel has gone, even from this place, into the many different states and countries around the world. I thank You for the wisdom and power that is Yours, and that someday You will bring all of this to a close. All wickedness shall be put down. All righteousness shall be exalted, and the only righteousness that is of any significance of exaltation is that of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we are justified. I pray that the truth will be proclaimed. I ask our God that You would either convert or remove ministers who compromise with truth. I ask our God that You would bless us to stand faithful according to the truth of Holy Writ. Now bless us as we continue in this worship. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue to look at our work. Warfare and trials, and at our arch enemy, the devil himself, who is our adversary. As Peter stated in his epistle, there in the fifth chapter, how that we are to we're to be sober, to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We're looking at the fact that he is our adversary. And this word adversary has the idea of one who opposes us in, or opposes another in law. An opponent in a lawsuit is the idea here of the adversary. The devil is an adversary to everyone. He is an adversary to everyone. He was an adversary to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. We read of the same situation in our scripture reading in Luke chapter 4. But we want to read in Matthew to get a different view from ourselves. Verse 1, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now that's an astounding statement in itself. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now just think, if you had gone 40 days without eating, how hungry you would be. Sometimes when you're fasting and you're driving down the road, you look like some of the billboards, you could eat what's there, billboard and all. And the worst part about hunger is not always the physical hunger pains. As you know, a lot of times we eat when we're not even hungry, just out of a mental desire of wanting to eat. And so, especially if you're fasting and if you've gone without food for quite a while, you know, you may not even have the hunger pains in your stomach. You just have the want to eat. So we have all of this, no doubt, with our Lord, because even though He was God manifested in the flesh, He felt everything that we would feel if we were to go 40 days without food. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now notice how the Lord is resisting the devil. He's quoting Scripture. He quotes Scripture to the devil. And when you are tempted to do something, it is not insane for you to talk to yourself and quote Scripture. You remember when David and his men came back to Ziklag and the enemy had taken everything away and all the possessions and all the women and children. And David's men were thinking of stoning him. It said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes the only encouragement you can get is from yourself. Not only that, Psalm 42 and 43:2 as well says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God." The psalmist was talking to himself. Soul, why are you cast down? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. So you're not insane if you talk to yourself and quote Scripture to yourself. And when the devil is tempting you, and you think the devil is tempting you, quote it to him. You say, well, how do I know? You may not know for sure. You can quote the Scripture anyway. It'll do you good, and it will, if he's around, it will, he won't like that at all. And then it says, verse 5, the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Now notice this. The devil is quoting Scripture. Quoting from Psalm 91. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. There's one thing about it the devil added to the Scripture, and that was lest at any time. The any time was not in Psalm. The devil will quote Scripture, but he'll take it and twist it. Just like modern preachers and people who do not love the Word of God and hate Christ. They'll twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. And Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Luke's account, as you know, when we read it this morning, said, in a moment of time. How did he do that? We do not know. But we do know from enough movies that have been made that you can make anything appear to be what it's not. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. In Luke it said, the devil left him for that time, indicating that he came back to him at other times. And then, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The devil was an adversary to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we saw in Luke, he was not only an adversary to him here, He was an adversary to him in many other places, many other times. I don't think I have it listed. I may have it listed. I don't remember now. But you remember, the devil was an adversary to the Lord in Peter. When the Lord said that he was going to die, Peter said, "This shall not be." And the Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that are of God." He was an adversary to him in his disciples in that way. The devil sows weeds in the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 13. Now the kingdom of God includes the church, but it goes beyond the church as well. It goes beyond the congregation. But here in Matthew chapter 13, has to do with several different prophecies. Several different parables. And in verse 18, Jesus said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of God and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. The seed is being sown by the wayside. Who sows the seed?" Look in verse 39. "The enemy that soweth them is the devil." Now he's talking about another different parable. But the enemy sows seed in the kingdom that are tares. Not only does he sow seed in the kingdom, he influences those that are in the kingdom. When they hear the words of the kingdom, the wicked one, the devil, takes away the seed in some people's heart. There's two different parables, two different situations. And I'm not going to take the time to explain the parables and all of their meanings and everything about them, other than just to show you that the devil is an adversary in the kingdom of God. And tares, when it's sown, at first looks just like wheat. You can't tell it from the other. But when it comes to maturity, the tares are usually higher than the wheat. And so those seeds that are sticking up out in the wheat field, here and there in various places, that are about 6 inches to a foot higher than the wheat, that's the tares. That's the reason you can go out and gather them. And pick them out first before you harvest. But there for a while, people that come in and even come into the house of God appear to be children of God when they're nothing more than seeds of the devil. And there's much opposition to the gospel. Not only within the house of God, but within professing Christianity as well. In fact, just about every Bible college and seminary is infested with liberal philosophy and ideology, and they study more philosophy and psychology and counseling than they do theology. That's the reason most of the so-called churches that claim to be Christian churches have more entertainment than they have anything else. Very few people love the gospel anymore. That's sad. All right, the devil can cause physical afflictions. In Luke chapter 13, and I'm not giving an exhaustive list of all of these things, but in Luke chapter 13, notice this. Verse 11. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. 18 years she's been over. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Here this woman was all bent over, and all of a sudden she was standing straight up. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to the watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Notice, Satan hath bound this woman for 18 years. Now, I'm not one to say that every time somebody's sick, it's of the devil. But I'm also willing to say that many sicknesses very likely are from the devil. You say, how do you know? I don't know that any way I can know, other than what God's Word says. If that's not enough, though we could bring others, but let's just go back to Job. Job chapter 1. This not only shows affliction, this shows a lot of other power of the devil, which we're going to look at some more later. Now notice, in Job chapter 1, verse 12, And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. Now the Lord said, Satan, everything that belongs to Job is in your power. You can do anything with anything that belongs to Job, but you can't do anything to Job himself. By the way, that means that Job's children belong to him. Because Satan killed them. Now notice this. In verse 15, the Sabaeans fell upon Job's oxen and the asses that were feeding beside them and took them away and slew the servants with the edge of the sword. Notice that. Satan had all of Job's livestock at this place, all the oxen and the asses, to be stolen, and all of the Job's servants but one to be killed. Satan caused that. Verse 16, the fire, while he was yet speaking, came another and said, "The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the serpent and the servants, and consumed them." Notice the fire of God. Why did the fire of God fall upon them? It was because God had put them into Satan's hands. You say, "Well, how does all of that work?" I don't know, and nobody else knows. God is sovereign. God could have stopped it. But God allowed the devil to do it. And it's called the fire of God here. You say, "Well, it wasn't the fire of God." It was the fire of God. Don't say God's word is a lie. God's word said it's the fire of God. You say, "Well, that just doesn't make sense to me." God doesn't make sense to a lot of people, and quit trying to figure them out. Just believe Him and obey Him. Then you'll be smart. Until you try to quit trying to put God into your little cubbyhole and make Him fit your cranium, you don't know who God is anyway. You're trying to make Him your God. Verse 17, the Chaldeans in three bands fell upon the camels and carried them away and slew all the servants. And while Job's children were in their house having a party, there came a great wind, verse 19, from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And only one was escaped. Notice this. The devil was behind all of that. You say, "Well, you said the devil made people sick." Well, notice this. The devil went back to God, and said, "If you'll just let me get a hold to him, he'll curse you to his face." Chapter 2 and verse 6. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he that is Job is in thine hand, but save his life." You can do anything you want to, but you can't kill him. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. Job was a righteous man. I believe Job was living a pretty clean life. I'm talking about physically clean, not talking about sinfully. That's obvious. he eschewed evil and sinned not. Says that the, so he wasn't a gross sinner or anything like that. You can make all the precautions you want to against Ebola, and we should. But if God wants you to be struck, he'll let Satan get a hold of you. And our government is lying to us because it is an airborne disease or infection. Europe, scientists in Europe have already proven that. It's airborne. Our security is in God, not in the CDC, who are liars themselves. When they came out with the, what is it, MMR, mumps, measles, and rubella shot, when they came out with that, they knew that it caused autism. They knew it when they put it out, that it caused autism. Years and years ago. So it's no accident that a lot of children have autism now. They knew it. That's how... Anyway. I won't go on. Our security is in God. And if God turns this nation over to itself, which is pretty evident that He has, you're going to see a lot worse things. I'm afraid. I hope not. I pray not. I don't want it. The devil can do great havoc. Say, well, how does all that work? I don't know how it all works. I'm not smart enough to figure it out. I don't believe any other man is smart enough to figure it out. But the devil works through people. He works in individuals. The Gadarene had legions of devils in him. This woman that was bound with her infirmity evidently had one. We read in Luke chapter 4 of people when Jesus healed them, the devils said, "We know who you are. You're the Son of God." For the people out there on the internet, they want to know that. Just read Luke chapter 4, the latter part of it. The devil is alive and well. But out of all the havoc that he does, he cannot go beyond, "Thus saith the Lord." So do not allow him to paralyze you. The devil even hindered Paul's ministry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, maybe it's chapter 1. Maybe it's 1 Thessalonians. Let's see. It's 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. Sorry about that. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and he says in verse 18, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again." I would have come to you one, maybe two times, but Satan hindered us. You say, well, how did he do that? I don't know. It could be because of persecution. It might be the borders were closed. Who knows? Who knows? Many a man's ministry has been hindered by the devil. It could be the members of a congregation rejecting the truth. It could be members just not obeying the truth. In Philippians, let me see if I can find that right quick. Paul commends them for their obedience. In 2 and 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But there was another passage that's in Philippians, I believe, and I'm not even going to try to find it, but it has to do with the fact that that his ministry had not been hindered, and it might not even be in Philippians. I have to look it up. But it talks about how that because they believed and was obedient to the gospel that he preached, that his ministry had not been hindered. Or words to that effect. But Satan hindered Paul. You say, well, didn't he cast the devil out of Elymais? It so appeared so. Or somebody. And the damsel that followed them that had a devil, he cast it out of her. You said, well, how could he cast them out in one place and be hindered in another? I don't know. You said, well, you're raising more questions than you're answering. That's always with the Word of God. But I'm going to believe the Scriptures. And we must be aware of what can happen. We must know our enemy in order to know how to resist him. As we said before, in the life of Job, the devil has great power. The devil has great power. We see this also in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. I'll begin reading at verse 8. And then shall that wicked, literally wicked one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. The devil has power, and he gives signs, and he gives lying wonders. Look in Revelation 13, for example. Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. You say, well, what are all these horns and heads and so on? I'm not worried about that. At least now. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Now remember, Daniel saw a lion, a bear, and a leopard. Daniel was looking prophetically in the future. John is looking backward with regard to the leopard, the bear, and the lion. In other words, this beast and the power behind the beast is the same power that worked in the lion, in the bear, and the leopard. Babylon, Persia, Greece. World governments. Who's behind all this one world government? The devil. And the leaders. He manipulates those leaders. I saw a news clip even this week of Roosevelt when he was giving his speech to America after he and Stalin and Churchill met at Yalta. Talking about how that what they had set up was going to bring world peace to all the little boys and girls across the globe. They haven't stopped doing that. Those three powers are still busy about their business. Yes, Russia's in part of it too. And the dragon, I think the dragon is the devil, gave him power and his seat and great authority. Whoever that beast is, whatever it is, the dragon gave him power and authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. This beast and the devil is behind the beast. And in verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's people will not worship world governments and dominations of world governments and the beast and the devil and all that give power and all that speak evil against God and God's Word. The devil has great power. Has power to kill. Has power to persecute. Has power to torture. He can go no further than what God allows. He's a liar. There's no surprised that world leaders tell us lies all the time. What they tell us today, they tell us something else tomorrow that contradicts what they tell us today. And then a week later, they'll tell you something that contradicts that. They lie and lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. And most people are so gullible, they follow them. The devil has deceived them. And public education has done a large part in dumbing down the people to be deceived. The devil is actually used in church discipline. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the man that had taken his father's wife, and the church at Corinth were bragging about it. And Paul recommends that they exclude the man. And he says in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 5, 4, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." In other words, when a person is not performing as they ought in the house of God, and they are disciplined by the house of God, they're excluded, they're turned over to the devil. And it's no surprise that many people that are disciplined, they're not even God's children, and when they're turned over to the devil, they just get worse. In this case, it brought about a good result, because he was sorry for his sin, as 2 Corinthians indicates. He was repentant, and he was restored back to the house of God. That's what you want to see. You want to see them repent. And I've seen that happen in being a pastor for 40-some-odd years. But I've also seen the opposite. People excluded, they just get worse. I've seen some be excluded, and they stay out for years. Many, many years. And then come back. Some are excluded, and while they're out, it appears that God works a work of grace on their heart, and they come back. So you have all different kinds. But the point is, Satan, they were turned over to the devil. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul exercising apostolic power. He talks about people that are in opposition to the truth. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 19, he talks about some having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck of the faith. And then he mentions two, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. When a person takes themselves or has put themselves out from under the protection of the house of God, they are either under God's protection or they're under the influence of the devil. You see, there is no gray area. You're either serving God or serving the devil. That's it. He said, well, I'm just serving myself. You're serving the devil. The devil's got you by the tail on a downhill pull, and you don't even know it. You think you're going along for the ride. There's no gray area. Saturday Evening Post, or no, Reader's Digest or something, several years ago said the truth is gray. The color of truth is gray. No, the color of truth is white. There is no gray. It's either right or it's wrong. It is sinful or it's not sinful. It is righteous or it's unrighteous. It is black or white. There is no gray. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie of the devil. The devil is used to keep people humble. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, or chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul talks about in verse 6 about this man that was that might glory. It says in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. What was that? Some people think it was Paul's bad eyesight. When people ask me, say, what was the messenger of Satan? I tell them it was the messenger of Satan. That's all I know. That's all the Bible says. Say, well, could it have been some physical affliction? Could it be this? Could it be that? I said, it might be. I don't know. All I know is what the Bible says, and that's all I'm allowed to tell you it is. I think at one time I thought it was his eyesight affliction. But I read that somewhere, and that's kind of what swayed my thinking, or I heard some other preacher say it and probably was swayed by it. But when I come back down to it and when I'm caught on the carpet, I don't know what it is. And so I can't tell you something beyond, other than the fact that God allowed Satan to work on Paul to keep him humble. And whether the devil knows it, well, I'm sure he does know it. He doesn't like it. But he's still being used by God to do God's work. And he desires to destroy God's work. It's like Joseph's brothers. They meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Everything the devil means is for evil. But God uses it under His divine providence to bring about His own glory. And if you ask me to explain it any more than that, I refuse, because I can't, and nobody else can. God is not the author of sin. He never has been. He never will be. God can never agree that sin is good or right. So if anybody says that I made God the author of sin, they are lying. And the devil has brought them into a false delusion. And though the devil influences us to sin, we are responsible and can resist him. And we'll look at that in detail some this afternoon. The devil has a lot of power. A lot of things go on in this world under the influence of the devil, limited by the power of God. And we don't know where that limitation is. We just know when God says stop, He stops. And when God allows Him to go, He goes. And everything He desires to do is to paralyze you, to stop you from serving God. Let's pray. Father, give us wisdom, give us understanding that we might trust You, that we might submit to You and to Your Word and resist everything that is contrary to it, knowing that whatever is contrary to the Word is of the devil. Give us strength. And again I ask, give us wisdom and understanding that we may honor You and glorify Thy name. In Christ we pray. Amen.